It's wonderful to be with you today as we begin talking about Exodus, going home for the first time. And I hope, as Pastor Mike mentioned, that you're part of the Bible reading plan. And if you've missed a couple days or if you haven't started yet, there's no time like the present. I've already heard so many people say how much it's blessed them, the experiences they've had reading through. And you can find all that at concordunited.org/Bible. Now, I don't know how much you could relate today to the person in the video who was talking about a military family and moving around and moving around and, you know, trying to find a real home. I began counting, and I've been alive a little bit more than 40 years. And in those 40 years, I've had 16 different homes, whether houses, apartments, dorm rooms, whatever they might be. And I've kind of learned that when you go to a new place, there's a moment where it turns from just an apartment or just a house into a home. And for me, I kind of know that's happened when you go on vacation and you get to the point where you're ready to be home, right? And you're looking forward to being home. If you go on vacation and you still don't want to come home, there may be something going on at home, right? Or it may not yet be home. And that's a very difficult thing when you're in a place and you don't yet feel quite like it's home. It's tough for us. I can remember one particular time in my life where I was a teenager. I was in school, and my parents came and they shared, "Hey, guess what? We're moving to a new place. You've never been around new kids, none of whom you know." And I can tell you that is the first and the last time I ever cussed my father. And I won't share with you exactly what he said to me, except that he was much more gracious than he needed to be. And that within 6 months, I was happier in our new home than I ever had been in our old home. That God provided that for me. And many times in our lives, we get in situations where God wants to do something marvelous, something to bless us in our future. And we have so much trouble hanging on and letting go to what was or what we wanted to be in our past that it's hard to embrace our future. And that's okay. It was the same way for the Israelites. And God doesn't give up on us because of that. God keeps on coming to work to bring us his blessing. So I want to share with you kind of how this plays out in the book of Exodus. And you probably know the story of Moses. If you listen to the anthem today, you heard most of it, right? A bunch of it was told. Well, last week we finished up with the book of Genesis, and we learned about Joseph and how Joseph brought his family, the family of his father Jacob, who is also called Israel, down to Egypt. And then after the days of Joseph, they remained in Egypt 400 years. But during that time, rather than being a privileged minority like they were in Joseph's days, they became an oppressed minority, where the pharaohs began to see that they could force them into cheap labor and use that to build the wealth of the kingdom of Egypt. And in that time, as that was going on, even so, the Hebrew people prospered and they grew in number. Their population grew, and the pharaohs began to get nervous about this because they thought, we want them here to do our work. We just don't want too many of them because then they might want to take over. And so they passed this law saying that the Hebrew boys for a certain time period should be killed. Well, that was the time when Moses was born. And Moses was born, and his mother hid him from the Egyptians, and then she put him in a basket in the river, and eventually he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter took him in and adopted him and raised him in the palace, so that he was a Hebrew by birth, but he was an Egyptian by raising in Pharaoh's palace. So he became the perfect person to eventually go to Pharaoh and to argue for the freedom of the Hebrews. But this didn't happen immediately. As a young man, probably an adolescent or young adult, he began to wrestle with his identity while living in the palace. And he learned that he was a Hebrew. And then he went out and he walked among the people and he saw how the Hebrews were treated. And he saw a slave master abusing a slave, beating the slave almost to death. And it enraged him so much that he murdered the slave master. And when it was found out what he had done, he fled and became a fugitive. Surely he thought, once he got away to the wilderness, that he had put his old life in Egypt far behind him. He settled down, He found a wife. He learned a trade from her father and from his new father-in-law, who was a shepherd, and he raised a family, and everything was stable, and everything was okay, and he was away from all that drama that had been in Pharaoh's palace. But God saw what was going on with the Israelites, and God saw that there was this man who was both a Hebrew and an Egyptian, who was the one who could bring this message. And God called upon Moses in the burning bush that didn't burn. And he said, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, no, I have a stuttering problem. I'm not good with public speaking. You need to get somebody else. And God said, well, listen, I'll give you your brother Aaron to help. But then you're going to go. And you're going to be the leader who's going to take this message. Well, Moses did. Can you relate to this? Moses did what God commanded him. Moses went and said what God told him to say. And do you know what happened? Do you know the first thing that happened when Moses became faithful and took up his courage and did everything God told him to do? First thing, things got worse. Things got worse. Pharaoh didn't like it. Pharaoh decided to make life harder on the Hebrew people. The Hebrew people resented Moses trying to suddenly be the advocate on their behalf and failing miserably and making life harder on them. So now Pharaoh's not happy with Moses. The Hebrew people aren't happy with Moses. Moses isn't particularly happy with Moses. And this is where we find the story today in Exodus 6, when God comes to talk to Moses in this situation. And here's what happens. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Indeed, by a mighty hand, he will let them go. By a mighty hand, he will drive them out of his land. And God said, I have also heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are holding as slaves. And I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will free you from the burdens of the Egyptians and deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has freed you from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Moses told this to the Israelites, but they would not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and their cruel slavery. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his land. Now, we learn a lot about God and a lot about us in this passage. God sometimes calls us to things, and God knows things may get worse before they get better. And when we're ready to give up, God is just getting started. And God is in no way dissuaded or discouraged from the mission he has given Moses. We also find that God didn't wait for the Israelites to ask God to let them go. God saw their pain. God sees the pain of each person who is oppressed, each person who is suffering, and God cares. God acts to bring healing and to bring wholeness, to lead them out of a place that was never meant to be their long-term home to a new place that's their home. They don't see it, but God sees the problem with what's going on. God sees problems in our lives and begins to work to set us free before we even realize their problems sometimes. And it doesn't matter if we say an eloquent prayer, that doesn't have to happen for God to hear. Right? Any person anywhere who suffers, God hears and draws near to those who suffer through pain and fear. That's just what God does. That's who God is. He doesn't wait for us to have the exact right words to ask. God goes ahead and begins to draw near to us and to plan and to act on our behalf in those situations. He draws near. This is what happened in Jesus Christ, right? He didn't wait till people believed correctly. He didn't wait till they understood correctly who he was and what he was all about. He went ahead and sent his son. He hears and draws near to those who suffer. That's simply what God does. Because when God sees God's children being oppressed, when he sees us living by ways and means that we were not created to live by, God cannot not act. Now, I know that sentence just horrified every English teacher in this room. I understand that's not grammatically correct, but it is spiritually 100% accurate. God cannot not act when his children are suffering and oppressed. God has to do something because it is God's nature to care for his children, and God cannot go against his nature. But you'll notice this in that verse 9 says, Moses told all this that God had said to him to the Israelites, but they would not listen because of their broken spirit and their cruel slavery. And what does God do? Next thing God says is, hey, go to Pharaoh and tell them to let the Israelites go. God doesn't wait. But if they're going to follow, if they're ultimately going to be set free, they're going to have to let go. They're going to have to let go because they think Egypt's their home. Oh, they just like a little better condition as slaves. But they have to learn that's not your home anymore. That was always a temporary home. When I was moving around, as a young adult, I always knew those dorm rooms, those apartments, those weren't my permanent home. You've probably been in that setting too. And then you get to a place and you say, okay, we hope this can be a more permanent home. They mistook their temporary home for their permanent home. And until you let go of what was, you can never grasp what can be, right? For some of us, there are some things we need to let go of. For some of us, we have some habits, we have some addictions, we have some hangups that help us cope with certain disappointments in life. And we can't imagine getting through life without those things. But it's not until we let those things go and realize that God has a better way to heal us and to redeem us that we're ever going to find the real home, the real life God has for us. For others of us, we look at our past and there's been some just cherished, some golden moments in our past. And we feel like we're not ready to let go of those. And there's been some disappointments that what the way things were in the past isn't the way they are right now. And it's hard for us to let go of the way the past was and the way we wanted the future to be, to embrace the way the future's really going to be. Until you let go of what was, you can never grasp what can be. Some of us need to Marie Kondo our lives, right? Some of you know this lady. She's become rather famous helping people throw stuff away. I also have a method for throwing stuff away. It's called a hefty trash bag. But her method tends to be a little more popular. And it's to take things, and if you don't need them, to give thanks to God for them, and then throw them away. But to say, thank you, God. Thanks for that. I no longer need this Time magazine from 1988. Here you go. I'm throwing it away, right? Some of us need to take some of the good things in our lives and we need to say thank you. We need to say, God, we thank you for what was and now we're ready for what can be. And for some of us, I know some of you are listening today and you're saying, Will, it's not just a small thing. If you knew what I had, if you knew what it was like and you knew what I lost, you wouldn't tell me to let go and to grasp what can be. You know there's no way to do that because you don't know what I had. You don't know what I lost. You don't know how I thought it would be right now versus how it is right now. And if you're thinking that, you're right. But I do know the promises contained in this book. And I do know the nature of God. That the nature of God is to set his people free, and the nature of God is to redeem, and the nature of God is to bless, and the nature of God is to make a way out of no way. And I know that if you're in that situation, that God has already drawn near to you. And I know that if you will let go of what was and give thanks for the good things within it and open yourself to what can be, I know God will bless you in a way beyond what we could ever ask or whatever we could ever imagine, because I know a lot of people who've lost an awful lot who found that God has given them back even more. Now, as we've mentioned, God in many ways is a God of incredible patience, but not a God who waits long to act. God doesn't wait till we're ready to set us free from burdens too heavy to carry. wherever you are, whatever you need to let go of in the past to embrace what God wants for you in the future, whatever you need to say thanks for so you can release, God is already at work. God is already there beside you, just as God was for the Israelites. And sometimes we simply get to this point where it's hard for us to be ready. The reason it was hard for the Israelites to be ready was, verse 9, because of their broken spirit and their cruel slavery. When you've suffered enough, when you've struggled enough, it's easy to get to a point where you just don't think things can be different, and you don't really think things can be better. But just because life got you to that point doesn't mean you're... I don't have to believe that the sun is still in the sky. I can think the sun's not there. It's still there. Thankfully, it's not dependent on my opinion, right? There are times when we might feel that way, but that doesn't mean that that's the case. Because we have a God who just won't give up. And we'll see this as we continue to read through the book of Exodus, of all that God goes through to set the people free, of all that God goes to help them embrace their new freedom in the promised land, to help them leave the ways of slavery and oppression, the ways that are not God's ways for them behind. Over the next couple weeks, we'll be looking at all of that. But here's what you need to know this week. Whatever you're dealing with, however it's difficult for us in this time with COVID, of letting go of how we thought things should be right now, and not knowing how things will be in the future, and hoping for the best but expecting the worst so we don't get our hopes up and then have another letdown. All that difficulty, God will not give up. God will set us free, or God will die trying. That is exactly the message we see in Jesus Christ. That is exactly the nature of the God that we find in the book of Exodus. Because what happens in Jesus' life? God becomes human, walks among us. Not because we were ready to be set free, but because God couldn't stand to see us enslaved to sin anymore, and the time was right. And Jesus offers this freedom. And some people accept it, and some people don't. But he was willing to die trying so that we just might. If you just might, maybe you're not even fully convinced, but if you just might want to accept the future God has for you, then I'd invite you to pray with me today. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you cannot not act when your children are suffering. We thank you that when we live outside of your will, you see our suffering and you see our wandering away even before we notice it. When we think we're doing well, God, you see the pitfalls ahead of us and you draw near to us. So, Lord, we ask today that you would help us give thanks for the things for which we need to give thanks, mourn the things that we need to mourn, and look to you to lead us into a future of blessing, of hope, of joy. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Christ our Savior. Amen.